God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. During these midweek services, we'll be going through the book of Daniel, at least most of its chapters. Tonight, we begin with Daniel 1. But before we get into Daniel, there is a connecting piece, especially to tonight's liturgical day. Tonight, the church enters into Lent, a 40-day period in which we remember our sins and our need for a Savior. Ash Wednesday is usually marked, especially with receiving of these ashes, with the words, "From dust we are, to dust you shall return." Now, I will admit that within that simple phrase, there is not much gospel. No one likes dust, do we? How many people go around dusting their house by adding dust? Typically, when we talk about dusting, we talk about getting rid of dust. But tonight we are wearing that dust, those ashes, in remembrance of during especially the Old Testament time when one was in repentance, really sorrowful in heart, one would put on sackcloth and ashes as a sign of that sorrow and repentance. And so Lent is that season which focuses upon the need for our repentance and especially the need of our Savior. Noting that we are sinners, we need to repent. And we need a Savior, Jesus, the Christ. The cost of our errors, our many sins, we cannot pay. So that cost takes our Savior to the sufferings and death that we deserve upon the cross. The Christ dies so we can live. Not very fair, if you think about it. He who is holy suffers and dies. We who are guilty are let free. If that happened in today's judicial world, there would be an uproar. But God's mercy is not fair. It is grace. Pure, undeserved grace. So we repent, knowing that our deeds are worthless, especially as the Old Testament person Job reminds us in chapter 9, verse 28. "I became afraid of all my suffering, for I know that you will not hold me innocent." So if a pious saint, as Job complained, can make these words, what must we admit by our own actions as we confessed, "I, a poor, miserable sinner"? So during the time of Lent, we're going to be focusing upon Daniel. Daniel has something to say about our condition and who we are. I will admit, during these sermon series, we're not going to really get into Daniel really strongly in depth. If you wish that study, you need to join us on Sunday morning during our Bible class. But let's start with Daniel. The first verse of interest is actually verse 2. What happens is God, and it is God who is doing the work, gives the people of Israel into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar. And you might be thinking to yourselves, why? How can a loving, forgiving God do this? Hand his people over to be exiled? To be ripped from their homeland? To be tossed in foreign occupation? The answer to that why was that the people, God's people, refused to repent. They were in the process of rejecting God. And sure, God did warn them. He sent them many prophets telling them to repent. But us as human beings, the problem is if we get so stuck and so used to our sins, we cannot save ourselves. Even with the intervention of a prophet. Needless to say, God was going to put them into exile. So would God destroy his own temple and ruin his quote-unquote own people and shatter his own nations just for the sake of getting us to repent? The answer to that question is, you tell me what's more important, the temple in Jerusalem or people? What is it that God wants? God wants all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. He can make a temple anytime he wants to. but he wants you. So what's truly important? Your repentance, your trust in the promises of God, you coming before him and saying, yes, Lord, I need your love. I need your forgiveness. I am a poor, miserable sinner. What's interesting to note about verse 2 is that even in the midst of this exile, who is the one who is doing the action? God is the one who is in control. Lest we never forget, God gives his people. In doing so, there is a beautiful wake-up call, a test, and a blessing. The wake-up call, the exile, again being ripped from one's homeland. And for Daniel and three of his associates, their names even being changed. Changed from good Hebrew names reflecting the glory of who they trusted in God, now given pagan names to add insult and to injury here. The test that is now before Daniel, before the three, and even before us today. Are we going to repent, realizing our need for a Savior, recognizing our sinfulness, or the choice that was given to Daniel and his friends? Do we embrace the culture? That's why they were there. That's why they were given the king's food. The king was going to teach them the Chaldean language, the Chaldean culture, the Chaldean food, the Chaldean way of life, a pagan way. So how do we even us as Christians pass this test? We live in a pagan society, but yet we confess Christ. Is it easy? The answer is no. Could they turn down the offer of the best of finest and finest of foods and drink for the sake of remaining faithful? Did they want to embrace the culture or embrace a loving God who just led them and gave them into exile? The test. Can you trust in a loving God even in the midst of an exile? Now, to be fair, most of us here are not in exile. Can you trust in a living, loving God in the midst of this pagan culture? Can you trust in a living, loving God even when your whole world is now turned upside down by some sort of tragedy? What happens very often in our human nature is we can't. Our human nature always wants someone to blame. And so if verse 2 names that God is in control, we want to blame him. When things go wrong in your life, when things are turned upside down, when evil crosses your path, do we not often complain to God and saying, where are you? But who and what is the real enemy here? It's not God. Even though it may seem that God would be the likely enemy since he's the one who's handing them over into exile. And if it's not God who is the enemy, maybe it's the Babylonians, King Nebuchadnezzar, and his sin of greed by consuming the people of Israel. No, that isn't really the enemy. Because too often as Christians, if we don't want to be blaming God for our misfortunes, too often we would like to blame the government or the culture. But that isn't necessarily really the greatest enemy. The greatest enemy that we as Christians need to realize, as Luther reminds us, sin, death, and the devil. Let's first pick up on sin. Sin is, in one essence, the greatest enemy. The reason why sin could be considered the greatest enemy is because sin is the one that drives us away from the greatest good. And what's the greatest good? That of God. Why were the people of Israel in this place, in this time, in this exile? Because of their sin, they drove themselves away from God. Too often in our personal pain, we do like to blame. We like to blame God since, you know, he names that he's in control. He can do all things. How can he allow this to happen? Even though we fail to realize, we fail to realize that he died for our sin. If we were left up to our own devices, our own actions, the consequences of our actions are eternal death and damnation. We dare not blame the God who takes on that punishment for us to give us life. Would we like to blame the government officials, the culprits, those who corrupted the government, especially during the time of the people of Israel, that led to its downfall and didn't properly lead the people? Would we like to blame the Babylonians and the Chaldeans for their greed? Yes, our sinful nature would like to blame everyone in the whole world, except for the one that really counts. Are we willing to repent of our sin? But to blame oneself and to note how we contributed to our own problem is what Daniel is trying to teach us and his people. Daniel does show throughout his book, he shows God's grace in action. God's grace in even very unforgiving circumstances of a pagan world. He doesn't want you to give up on God, but to trust in him. You will be drawn to the love and grace of God when you see God's grace truly in action, as we will in the book of Daniel. Daniel goes through the proper channels now when he's told that he will eat the king's food and drink the wine. Why? For Daniel, he wanted to make sure that he did things the right way and not the wrong way. He didn't want to eat the king's food and drink the wine, in one essence, as a testimony to his faith. But please note that Daniel is not arrogant about it. And this isn't anything about drinking of water versus drinking of wine. Our own Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his first miracle in Cana, of changing water into wine. No, this isn't about arrogance. This isn't about isolation. This is about respect. Respect even for a pagan culture and its own chain of command, even in Babylon. I will admit our graphic for our midweek services in this series of Lent of the book of Daniel might strike some by surprise. Please note that the words that were changed for tonight's message, Babylonian water. Yes, this is what Daniel asked for. And in one essence, this water sort of became a basis of his faith and trust in God. He was not going to embrace the culture, but continue to put his faith and trust in God, just like for us. Water, in one essence, is also the basis of our faith. How does one enter into this beautiful relationship that God has given to us? Via water and God's word. So wherever we see water, we always have a beautiful reference to what God does through the sacrament of holy baptism. Even Babylonian water, it's not the water that makes the baptism, but the power of God's word and our trust in those promises. So even Babylonian water can be good for you. In doing so, as Daniel works through the channels and the chains of command, not in an arrogant way, but in a proper way, God now blesses Daniel with good health and special gifts. Now given the ability to interpret dreams, he will use that gift soon enough. And the king is appeased. Can the pagan society also be blessed by Daniel? The answer is yes. Now we see God's glory really at work. If you thought this was about a pagan occupation, putting down God's people, guess again. This is about God working through the worst circumstances, so to speak, blessing people. We are reminded in the fourth petition of the Lord's Prayer, that God blesses all people, including evil people, pagan people, and even those who trust in his promises. For us, as we take a look at what Daniel teaches, we need to realize we also live in a pagan society. And in the midst of this society, we also struggle with how we are to maintain our commitment to God. Daniel will show us that even in the midst of the most difficult times, for not to lose heart, because God is in control. God can use us, just like he used Daniel where God placed him. God placed Daniel in Babylon with the Chaldeans, and God is going to use Daniel there and bless them through Daniel's commitment, his faith, trusting in the promises of God. But too often, we easily get discouraged. And because we get discouraged, we often disqualify ourselves to be used by God. Our own sin, our anger, and our bitterness want us to shut ourselves down. But our rejection of God is not what Daniel is asking for. He's not asking for us to be rebellious, but to continue just to trust in God and allow God to work through you where God has placed you, just as he did with Daniel and his friends. Yes, we may seem that our everyday tasks may seem to be mundane, but God works through them, maybe in ways that we do not see. So do we truly understand that God is in control, even in the midst of the many vocations and places where God has used us? If we truly trust in the promises of God, we need to realize he is in control. And yes, he will allow people to suffer, be defeated, put into exile. But through it all, his ultimate purpose is to bring about salvation. Daniel's view of the exile is that it can and it does bring glory to God, as people still confess their sins and their faith in the salvation which he alone brings. God is glorified even in the exile, because he is the one who is in control. God receives his glory, even though his captive people need to learn how to repent, who learn how to work with a pagan system and yet remain faithful. Therefore, the Babylonian captivity is not just some simple punishment by God for their unfaithfulness, but it is an opportunity for the people of God to repent and for a whole culture to see the grace of God and his glory in action. This is the story of Daniel, a true story which we will indulge ourselves in these Wednesday evenings. As we begin the season of Lent, we do begin, very correctly, focusing on our need to repent. We also need to hear the same story of Daniel and apply it to our lives. As God continues to show mercy in spite of our own sinfulness, that is the true miracle and the grace of God. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.